I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Villaleno. You're listening to Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What is happening, Nasty?
I don't even want to talk to you.
A little disappointed.
Where are you? Look, just look.
Oh, like, these little palm trees back there.
Yeah, those palm trees back there, dickhead. Those.
You don't have it. You don't have those in Borges?
I don't. Oh. And it went yesterday. It was about 75, and it's back down to 40 right today. You're sitting there in the sun.
85.
ESPN following you around. Don't worry about us. We got it. Don't worry about your men's league team either. Anyway, you were put on waivers. You weren't claimed because they know you're not coming. No team claimed you.
Oh, man. So does that make me a free agent? Or
yeah, you can go anywhere? Play at the Patriots Center or whatever it's called in Delaware.
It's a little closer to the house. Five minute drive, yeah. It's an old hour drive.
We found a way to win, though. Not that you even care anymore about the boys, but we found a way to win Sunday. It's a good game, though. Actually, really good game. I think yeah. By one goal. We may have got an empty net, but anyway. You were, you know, guys were just asking, you know, did anybody do something wrong? Are you just too cool? I said, no. He's in Jamaica, boys. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You actually have a legit excuse this week. I'll give you
that. Yeah, I do. I really do. Yeah.
Doing your 30 for 30 there, man. It's that's awesome, man. How's it going?
Yeah, you know what, Nast? It's been pretty incredible. I've done this before, so I kind of knew what I was getting into. And but this one's a little bit more surreal, just the connection with the group of guys. And our boy, Steve Downey, is down here.
Yeah.
Was able to get this guy out of Canada, get him on a plane, and somehow worked it out where he's down here in Jamaica doing some good work. And he's been down for 4 days. And you should see, man, he's just glowing. He's got a lot of positive energy. He's smiling. He's opening up. So I hadn't seen Downs in 6 years. And
yeah,
I knew he was going through some shit there, as you did, with his concussions. So awesome to see him smile and do well.
Just getting to talk to him there for a couple minutes on FaceTime was awesome, man. That smile is just, oh, man. Miss seeing that guy. He's got, well, people don't know yet, but they'll soon find out the hair on him, man. I give you shit. His hair is 6 inches longer than yours.
I know, man.
And you said he had a beard, eh? He had a beard. Was he just running? I was running. He looked Forrest Gump without a hair.
Exactly what he looked like before he trimmed her down.
Yeah.
But he looks more civilized now. I got the long shag, but he got rid of the beard and still missing the grill. But
that's all right.
Yeah, man. It's Downs, man. Yep. Yeah. He's a beautiful spirit. Yeah.
Happy to hear it too, man, because I know he's having some issues there, and that's what you do, man. You're out there helping people, and it's good to see someone that you know, like who really needed it too, you know, with Downs. You know, not saying that in a bad way, just, you know, going through shit and dealing with things that he was, and he looked great. God, he smiled the whole time we were talking. So,
yeah, really, man, cool. he's he's vibrating high. And you know what? Like, all I can do is reach out to guys and see if, you know, they're willing to accept the opportunities that I may have for them. You know, Downs did all the work, man. This guy had no passport 3 weeks ago. He had no driver's license. So this guy was like last second, like Down Styles, rushing around, getting everything organized, somehow got his passport and, you know, in the short amount of time we had, got on a plane and came here. So, you know, props to him. He knew he needed some help and he reached out and, you know, he did all the work. So the work's not over, obviously. Yeah. Old curveball.
Curveball.
Yeah. That's it.
He's the man. Well,
yeah, no doubt. What's good, going on, Flyerland? What's going on with you, dude?
Yeah. Just been busy here grinding wheels and trying to, you know, work with Nasty Knuckles stuff, you know, while you're sitting in the sun surfing and, no, I'm kidding. I know it's serious business there, but yeah, the Flyers, since we last talked to everyone, they lost a tough game to many. Should have won that game. They were winning a couple goals late, like right away. It just, you know, just kind of fell apart. And then they came back, you know, this weekend. They had a really good effort. I know Chicago's not in great standing like we are here with the Flyers, but it was still a good, entertaining game. Physical game. So they won that game 4-3. So big game tonight against Vegas at home. So
all right.
Yeah. I mean, I say big game. You know, every game's, you know,
yeah.
They don't mean a whole lot except for, you know, pride and everything else. But that's, the guys are playing hard and you know, hopefully it's a good game.
Yeah, no doubt. And you go check it out, eh, Nast?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Yeah, taking a little rat over Elvis.
Beauty.
Take him to the game. He's all excited. See Jack.
I guess
Eichel.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah. Real quick. I don't know if you saw while you're there. Ghost had a night the other night. Goal, 3 assists, Arizona.
I didn't see that. That's
beautiful. He's doing well, man. He's 33 points, which would actually be third on the Flyers if he was here. I mean, I know it's totally different teams, but interesting. We have the trade deadline coming up. Obviously, Claude's got 5 games till he hits 1,000, and I'm hoping he does that here. Who knows? Maybe he.
I sure hope so.
I haven't heard a whole lot in the last few days, but you know, I think Ghost is another guy that's probably going to get moved. So that'll be really interesting to see, because you can't tell me there's not one team that would take that guy on a power play.
I hear you.
I don't care.
I hear you.
He's
adding depth like that, man, for sure. Yeah.
That's about it here,
that's
buddy.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's beautiful. And I think we're almost ready to rock episode 65, Nast.
I know.
As man, Villeno.
Yeah. As Mr. Snyder used to say to him, he would call him Ville from Philly. And we're like, not from Philly. I know it. It just sounds good, Mr. Snyder would say. But let's do it, man.
Yeah. This episode was brought to you by our friends at CureLeaf, CureLeaf.com. Nast. Best medical marijuana dispensaries in Pennsylvania. Check them out at cureleaf.com. Talk to their knowledgeable staff. Learn a little bit more about the medical cannabis program in Pennsylvania. Appreciate their support. Let's go. Episode 65.
Ville Leno. Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Suttlemeyer. And this week we are ecstatic to have one of my favorite guys ever to wear the orange and black. He wasn't here long enough, but he was here. Great guy, number 22, Hollywood, a superstar, Ville Leno. What's up, Ville?
Thank you for having me, guys. Fucking, it's great to be here.
It's awesome to have you, man. I miss you, buddy. I wish you didn't live all the way across the pond, because I never get to see you, but it's great to have you here, man.
Yeah, good to be here. You know, it's always great to come to Philly, too, and I like it here so much.
Yeah. Good to see you, man. You're looking good.
Yeah, you are, man. Look at you.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, keep myself busy and work out and get some sleep, get the right sleep and drink water and stuff like that. You know? Right.
Everything
you
we know. Didn't do.
Exactly. Right?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
That's working.
Oh, that's awesome. So what do you got going on? We know what you have going on, but explain to everyone, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, my biggest thing, what I'm doing now is the clothing line, Bilabeno, and that's my main job, and I'm having so much fun with it, and we're doing a bunch of new stuff all the time and doing new, different kind of setups, like we're going more to the jackets and we're going more to the backs and all that kind of stuff. So it's very intriguing. It's a lot of work. And once you get a little bit bigger, it starts to be a lot of more different sizes or sides on it. So it's a lot of work, but it's so much fun too.
Man, I tell you, Vili, it's unreal watching the growth since you started. I remember even when you were playing in Buffalo, you had the sticker. I remember you gave me, you started with your logo, which is awesome. You came up with it yourself. You're very artistic, which we can get into. But I remember it starting there. You're still playing, and now, like, fast forward, it's amazing what you've done, man. Like,
Thank you.
It is.
And it's the cool part about it, it's kind of like starting your hockey career again or your career again because you start building up and doing these things and you get a little better, you do a little more, and sometimes some things don't go the way you want it, but then the other three things go the way you want it. So it's a cool process, and the growth is the most fun part, and it keeps just going, and, you know, but that's the fun part about it too.
Yeah,
lots of collaborations too, right? With players, and then the recent one with Warrior Hockey.
Yeah,
back into the hockey world a little bit.
Well, we were trying to kind of stay off the hockey, except like players wise. But we would kind of try to stay off of it, but just to be more of a contemporary street band and not to be pulled off to too much to the hockey side. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, but we wanted these to be kind of separate things. But now it's kind of fun. You get to plan your or design your own hockey stick and gloves, which I would have loved to do when I was playing.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, I was
you're the best style in the league.
You had sick style. You and Kovalev. You too, man. I'm telling you.
White wheels. Tongue, I know, man.
Everything perfect. The jersey just right. The gloves.
Yeah, well, man. You know, we were working on that with you so much. And that's exciting. And it would have been so cool to do it back then. Yeah. But better later than never. And it's a fun process doing the different kind of things that are outside the clothing world. And those are like super fun parts, and they're very creative and inspirational for me too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, you've gotten so big, and I don't want to jinx it because I think you're just going to keep growing the way everything looks and the way it is. It's awesome. But all your new – I see all your stuff, obviously, on Instagram and everything else. But are you doing all – is that all you – all your ideas, or do you have a team now because you're so big? Or, like, how does
well,
that work?
When I used to do it mostly by myself, and then obviously I need help to do that. Like, but it's getting to the point that I can't do everything myself. We have to have like the we have a design team, we have production manager, product developer. Then we have obviously marketing, but they all have to be online in line with each other, and you have to figure out how the collection looks color wise and do they fit together and what you do. So it's kind of a lot bigger process than it used to be, and obviously everybody needs to be involved on the design department and obviously the production and sourcing and all that, like it all comes together. There's so many moving parts now, which is nice. Like you can still be a big part of it, but obviously I can't do it on my own and tell like, let's do this. And then everybody's like, when did this come out?
You know what I mean?
And we got very talented people working on it. So it's also one of the great things that you have this team like you had in hockey and you're trying to bring the right people, very nice people on it, good working environment, but give them a lot of freedom also to run their own stuff. So I'm not micromanaging at all. I let them like come to work whenever they feel like or want to, and they can stay home working in there, and they plan their own vacations as long as the job gets done. So it's kind of very, very open, free environment that I want to keep it that way. So people want to be working with me.
That's it.
They all also have their own responsibility that they take care of themselves instead of me telling them. So it's kind of something I learned with hockey too, that, you know, coaches always tell you that you got to go here and don't lose the puck there. And like now he's pissed and he's throwing me, you know, the bench and not playing me. Instead of he could have just said, you know.
Teddy Nolan.
Teddy actually was good to me. Like, one of the guys that was good to me. So, yeah. I mean, he shouted, but he'd laughed after. But the coach could have just said, like, you know, you keep losing the puck there. So, pretty soon I'm going to have to bench you. Then you're mad at me and I'm mad at you. And yeah. we're going to be in the wrong rails. So I would have been like, okay, you're right. I won't do that again, at least not on purpose.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Instead of, just fighting right at the get-go.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, staying in your lane, building the team of, right. of creative individuals that support your vision, I guess,
yeah.
right?
And yeah, and also, like, having them being a good person and more accountable. Sure. It's hard to be too bohemian and, like that's so hard for the whole team. Like, there's too many bohemian people, so yeah, that come right. whenever they go and do whatever they please. So
right.
that doesn't really, it's hard like that if it works like that, too.
For sure. Now, is this something that you dreamed about a lot earlier on in your life, or is this kind of like manifested towards the end of your playing career?
A little bit both. I always thought I'd like to have a clothing store or something like that, or okay. design some pieces. But then all of a sudden, like, this came out, and I figured out the logo and the name came out. So I didn't really know that much. I didn't know anything about the supply chains and all that stuff. Yeah. But I trusted on the logo. I really loved the logo, and I'm like, might as well do it and try it and see how it goes, you know?
Sure.
I got nothing to lose, yeah, really. Right. So it just kind of started naturally, just like most of the things in your life start, right?
Yeah.
Right. You like doing it, you love it, and you're enthusiastic about it, and that's how it kind of turns into business sometimes.
Right, yeah. Right. That's the most important part, right? You got to have the passion and love for it, and if you do, generally, it works yeah. out, and it seems to have worked out for you.
Everything you want to do good and great, you have to work hard and you have to work a lot.
Yep.
But if you enjoy it and you like it and you're passionate about it, it doesn't seem like work
yep.
until you have too much work.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know,
right. you got to outsource.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's the thing you can always work on, like getting more people, getting the right people. But it's same with hockey, like the players. Like, if you really excited and love doing it and you have fun, that's when you do play 20 hours a day, like
yeah.
you know, and
right.
that's how you get good. And you want to just, you keep working on that toe drag for like 5 hours, and then finally you got it and you're like, that's how Alex Kovalev did it.
Yeah, 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 right.
So
right.
that's the same thing in this.
I just remember a few years when you started this, like I said, you kind of got into the t-shirts, the hats, and then obviously where you are now. But I just remember one time looking on Instagram and seeing your thing, and you're having a fashion show, and I'm like, geez, like, this is escalated quickly, which yeah. is a great thing. But the thing that I think shocked a lot of people, and I know a lot of ladies were happy, is when you came down the runway in the Speedo. I mean, that's something I never thought you would do.
Yeah.
But you have to, I guess, for the business once right. in a while. Right?
Sometimes you've got to take a hit. Did you like that?
Oh, did I? I bought
four of them. That was the game changer.
I bought four of them. All colors you were offering. No, but it's amazing, VLA, like how well it's doing. Like I said, I think it's got a lot of root. It's, you're probably going to keep growing, but it is amazing. It's fun to watch, man, because, you know, music, we can talk a little bit about music, and I know you like to paint. Like, you're just a creative guy.
Yeah, you're so a skilled guy.
It makes sense that, you know, this is kind of what's fallen. You went and grabbed it, really. It didn't fall in your lap, but you've worked hard. So it's awesome to see, man.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it. It's awesome to hear. I'm always trying to be happy for people, too. Like, one thing I realized after career that I'm doing the things I like. Like, you know, at the end of my career, I was trying to play guitar, trying to play piano. I was doing the designs for this. And then I started painting. And that was one of the things that I feel like it was like therapy for me. Mm-hmm. Because I painted for 5 hours and I didn't even know the time or, you know, that yeah. kind of stuff. So whatever is kind of close to you, and once you try to be natural and really on, you know yourself, and you know, try to be what you really want to be or right. feel like being, that's when these things really happen, that yeah. you start to do what you love.
Right.
Absolutely. That's I was going to awesome. Say, like, you're like an ultra skilled guy. I remember, you know, like, flashy, really creative. Like, do you find that you've always been that creative with these other things, or is this like something that evolves as you became more mature and understood your creative abilities?
Well, I think once you're under 30, you don't really know yourself even that well. Like,
yeah,
that's when you start to a little bit grow and think of what you are and what you should do. And obviously, I was, as a player, I was very creative. I was into what kind of gear I had, what yeah. kind of a stick I had, how did that look, and that kind of thing. And Once the game kind of changed a little bit, and I was getting injured, and I wasn't able to do all the stuff that I wanted, and Buffalo wasn't doing that great, and that kind of, you know, I think it pushed my creative side to something else, because I couldn't create on the ice that well, and I couldn't do the things I wanted to, so I kind of pushed me towards that, and then I found these other things I was really into and excited about, and that's how it kind of all turned out. You know, I wasn't really getting the excitement about hockey that much. Like, there was obviously good moments, and sometimes it went better and sometimes not, but I think it pushed me towards that way.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I mean, we're creative beings, and I'm learning a lot about this world too, you know, post-career, and just how creative we are as individuals, but my own creative abilities, but not that I was a skill guy and really looked at myself as a creative guy on the ice, but I mean, hockey is a creative sport, right? I mean, that's why we play it and why we were attracted to it. But it's interesting to hear your story and how it's evolved for you and how you found your niche, again, in the real creative space. So,
well, I think a lot of things that you don't think are creative, they are actually creative. Right. And I feel like my talent is in being on the visual side. And somebody else's storyteller or a good talker or writing stuff, or, you know, we all have something. You just kind of have to find it and stick with it and enjoy it. I think that's the main key I've kind of understand here over the few years, that everybody's good at something. So you just kind of have to work your way out there.
Oh, I've been alive for 36 years now, and I still haven't found anything I'm good at. So, Vile, maybe you can stick around another day and maybe help me. But
that's not true, buddy.
No, but it is amazing, Vile. It's awesome, man. It's so cool to see.
Yeah. Well, let's walk us through your hockey career to some degree here. I mean, not drafted and signing a
which blows me away.
Yeah, I know, right?
The skilled player you were just kind of blows my mind away that you weren't drafted. But maybe is there a reason? Were you playing pro at a younger age? I don't know how that works exactly over there. When you were in Finland, obviously, playing.
I think I was a little bit of a late bloomer, so I wasn't really going to that World Juniors path, like the young the junior path that a lot of people were in. And I got really good when I was 18, 19, and kind of nobody followed me around. And, you know, at that point of time, NHL wasn't like taking too many guys without drafts, and they didn't draft people over 20 something.
Right.
So I kind of missed that train. But then I played really good in Finnish league, and my last 2 years were really great. Actually 3 years, they were already talking about maybe coming to US, but, or North America, but there was not really that good of an offer, or I felt like where I could get a really good chance to play in North America. And then after my last year, I went to see a couple of teams, and obviously I went to Detroit, and they said I'm going to be up right away. And I went to, there were so many Europeans that came in, like Francien came in late, and he was playing third line, and I think he won the scoring title for playoff, and you know.
Oh, wow.
And there's Datsuk, Zetterberg, players like kind of that I could play with easily.
Right.
So, well, not easily, but like we would think about the Rocky same way. That's what I meant. That it would be fun, and I could see it happening. So I came over and signed a deal with Detroit, and sure enough, I'm starting the farm.
Yeah.
But they told me
with our boy Dog.
Yeah, with Dougie. Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome.
He is an awesome guy.
So I went, Kenny Holland told me, like, we can trade you if you want to, because like we promised you would be up. And I got sent down, and I said, okay, I'll pay my price for a little while. And I think it took like 30 games that I was in the minors. And then I get called up, finally, and I'm playing with my first game with Hossa, Datsuk, Lidstrom, and Rafalski. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're here. Okay. We're here.
Were you like, whoa?
Well, and then there's Ovi and Backstrom and then the other side, the national anthems played. And,
a little nervous?
Whoa, yeah. I would think so. Like, you don't really want to. It's almost sometimes harder to play with good players because you're kind of like, oh, let me get in your way. But sure enough, I scored my first shot. I was in 2-on-1 with the host, and I did a spin around and went in. I don't know how that happened. It's black out. I remember going to the locker room like, whoa, what happened? What just happened?
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
But it was that kind of a story. And then I played up like 10 games, and then I get back to minors and got back in playoff, and they signed me for 2 years after.
Yeah. Well, Babs did say you were the best player he ever sent to the minors, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, it actually did, because I don't think he pays a lot of compliments at the time, right? And he was a hard-nosed coach, but, I got along with him well, but I'm sure there's people that didn't go that well.
Yeah, there was a real quick Babs story. Chief Coach Craig Berube, obviously you know Chief, he's coaching us and the Flyers, and you had moved on, and Hexy's the GM. So we have a day in between. So we got there early. We played somewhere, Monday night. So we have Tuesday ice in Detroit, right? And this is still at the Joe before we went to the new building. And they're like, yeah, you know, it's your ice, 12 o'clock. So guys start coming in. Only like half the team was skating, you know, the rookies and the guys that didn't play. The other guys are just kind of working out. Anyway, long story short, they got guys on the ice.
Yeah.
And everybody's getting dressed, and now Hexy's like, cuckoo. Deke. He called me Deke. He's like, Deke, what's going on out here? I'm like, I don't know. They're on the ice. I can't make him get off. Like, so I go to the attendant, and I'm like, hey, like, we're supposed to be on the ice in like 5 minutes, and you got guys practicing. So they go again. He goes, I want to see Babs right now.
Right.
So finally, Babcock comes out, and it's Hexy and Chief standing like right over him, and Chief's just like looking at him, and Hexy's like looks at Chief. So Chief starts talking. He's right. Like, hey, like, you told us we had the ice. Well, what do you want me to do? The guys wanted to skate. So he's like, yeah, but we have the ice time. It's a league rule. Like, this is an issue.
Right.
Like, we shouldn't be waiting. We brought our guys here, blah, blah, blah. You know, and guys are yelling at me and the other trainers. Like, what the fuck's going on? You know, like, I don't know. Go talk to Babsy.
Right.
So anyway, he's like, what do you want me to do? Babcock says that. But the whole time, he never made eye contact with either one of them.
Of course.
Like, he's got his head down. What do you want me to do? And X, he goes, well, an apology. And he goes, well, I mean, I guess I'm sorry, but I don't think I did anything wrong. And then Hexy's like, that's not an apology. You know, I'm like, what's going on? What are we going to have here?
Right.
It ended up okay, but he got him off the ice. But it was just kind of funny to see. I don't know if Babcock was maybe sweating a little bit, but it was kind of funny. And then some of the guys over there, you know, all those guys, they were just kind of like,
laughing.
He kind of got, you know, he was a little, I think he was a little intimidated.
Probably.
More by Chief, probably.
You would be. Chief, the boss, you know.
I told Chief after, you know, just fuck him. I'm like, you got no balls. That guy owned you. What? I will knock him the fuck out, you know.
Right.
But anyway.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
So what were your thoughts when you ended up getting shipped to Philly?
Well, the initial thing was, like, obviously I loved Detroit, and, you know, just being here for 2 years, and you were kind of nervous what's going to happen now. But obviously I knew a little bit about Philly, and it's a good team, and Kimo was here, and I felt pretty good about it. But tell you the truth, I didn't know what to expect, really. But soon enough, I met the guys, and everybody was so nice. Like, everybody, I got in right away, and I really loved the room.
Immediately. Yeah. I mean, so I don't think you'd have a problem fitting in anywhere, but with your personality. But
I think this was like, you know, you're always nervous around, but it was so, the atmosphere was so relaxed and loose, like, which I didn't get used to in Detroit, because it was Babs and it was very strict, and like, it was fun. People were like, the players were fun. It was a good team, but the atmosphere wasn't like that. It was like serious business. You know what I mean? Like, if you miss a pass in practice, you'd be like blowing the whistle and like embarrassing you in front of the team or whatever. But here I started, and Hart's just like giving shit to Lavi in front of everyone, and yeah, he's explaining practice. I'm like, what is this story? You know? So it was, but I didn't get to play at the start as much because Philly was Flyers was fighting for the playoff, and I kind of wore in and I was out, and it was like all right, not great, but it was all right. But I think Lavi didn't want to change things too much, and he kind of stick with his horses unless something happened. But it was kind of weird, and I was waiting. Let's see what happened. And the playoff game, and Karchi got hurt.
Yeah.
And then I got my chance with Danny Breer and Hartsey. And after Jersey series, everything just clicked right away. Man.
It was amazing.
And it was beautiful. After that time, everything went so well. Like, that was my dream hockey career, like time of hockey, like those from that playoff to the end of next season. It was so much fun, no stress. Teams were winning. We had a great group of guys, great staff. And obviously, everybody's even more happy when you're winning. Like, there's no bad vibes at all.
You're right, 100%.
Yeah, so it's the vibe was amazing, and obviously great group of people that I still, when I see them, it's like a reunion, right? So it was just the best thing that happened to me.
Well, I'll tell you this, Vila, it's right. Like, it was not funny. You weren't playing. We get you, and nothing against OKT, but like, that's a very lopsided trade in the end. You know, Tolson, he was a great guy.
Yeah,
but he had bad knees. Like, he's had a type of great guy. But anyway, you come in, and just for the record, so you know, I did go in. Karchi got hit with a shot, broke his foot. Mm-hmm. They were going to go with someone else, and I went right in the lobby. I said, no, we're going to go Vila. We're going to put Vila in now. I've watched this guy play two pass with Cote. He's making him look like an all-star.
Yeah, right.
So if he can make Riles score all these goals, you know, nah. But the thing that was amazing, and it still is to me, and we've talked about this, is the chemistry, you and Danny, and Hartsey too.
Yeah.
But you and Danny, two really skilled. You guys just read off. It was like, you know, you weren't here very long.
Right.
The way you guys just, it was almost like once, like you said, after that one series, when you guys started clicking, I mean, it was like every shift.
Oh, yeah.
It was like you guys were getting changed.
Yeah.
You were the number one line. Like, you guys were, everything was happening.
100%.
And the team, you know, we've talked about this too. If you look back, like, it's amazing we barely made the playoffs with that team.
Yeah.
It was a good fucking team.
It was. You don't get those that often.
Like, Claude Giroux, and I know he's a kid, but he's your third line center.
Right, with Reimer.
And Ash, right?
Ash,
a little toughness on there, so to protect those two. But, like, but back to you guys, that chemistry was amazing. It really was.
Well, so one of these times you get lucky to play with guys that, like, me and Danny, we thought about the hockey exact same way, but Danny, he was such a good scorer, and he could obviously make plays, but he could, like, every time I knew I'd get him the puck, I'd be, like, raising my hands up, you know? Right. And Hartsey, which was kind of struggling at that time before playoff, he gave us room. He was good in front, and he's good winning the battles, getting us the puck. Like, even with Hartsey, it was a great combo because, like, he would... Everybody had a great role. They fit into their roles, and there was this great chemistry that you don't really get that often, and you obviously wish you'd have that somewhere else too. But and also, like, the my spot in the team was, like, there wasn't too many players like me, like, right, skilled players. So right. And it was rough, obviously. Good old Broad Street Bullies. There was a lot of fights and a lot of hitting and all that stuff. So that kind of gave me room too, right, which in Detroit, everybody was kind of skilled. So they were kind of stacked, and guys were trying to hit Detroit a lot because they had no one really to hit back.
Yeah, that's
so true.
Vila, you set a record tied record, an NHL record for points by a rookie. Now, the funny thing was, when that was announced, Lou Nolan announces it over the thing, and then standing O, which you deserved. And so Billy's just kind of like saying thanks to the crowd, and I'm standing, I'm going to stand beside Lavi because my my shoulder's still banged up. I've had two surgeries from him elbowing me after big goals and shit. But you're like standing up and saying thank you, and place is going nuts. And he says, what just happened? I'm like, well, Vile just set the rookie record for points in playoffs. And he goes, rookie record? What's he? I thought he was like 30.
I almost were.
But it was just funny, you know. I mean, he's just like right in the middle of the game. Isn't he like 30 or something?
Yeah, that's a weird coincidence. Like 2 years kind of played in the league, or not up and down.
Right.
Or a year? Right? No, yeah, sorry, yeah, like a year and a half, and yeah. But just enough. Not enough games, and then like,
that was crazy. I think I told you that after game, I was dying.
Yeah, you're gonna break that record, doing a rookie record on 28 stuff. But he was kind of lucky too. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's still holding. I think Jake Guentzel is tied it. You got three guys tied for it, but it's still pretty amazing. No matter how old you are.
Yeah, it was lucky too.
Moving on, like that run, we've talked about it with everyone that's come on that was on that team. Like, just one of the best times of my life. I mean, it's just a shame we came up short, but it was what a year. And then even the next year, we had a really good team. We won the did we win the conference next year?
We did.
That's right. You were coaching. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then Vile scores a big goal in overtime in Buffalo because we were down in that series. We were down 3-2.
Yeah.
And you score that goal. And then we go on. Then we smoked them the next game seven. Like, it wasn't close.
That goal signed you the ticket.
Yeah, and then the next thing you know, Vile's looking at 27 Smil. Morgan, thanks for coming. You know, I'm like, you want to take me with you?
You want to go to Buff, Daddy? Yeah, right?
I want him for that. I want to go. I'm going to carry his bags everywhere.
Right.
Fuck George and Willie. And
Caddy for Willie.
Yeah, I'll just fucking drive him to the rink and shit. That's cool. Cool, man. Pick your coffee up.
Yeah.
You got the piano when you were there, the drums. Yeah. Like, we could have had a band, for God's sake.
Right,
sakes,
right.
I'd be part owner of Billy Beano. Instead, I'm sitting here with you.
The crossroads.
Yeah, man. But that was great. But so you go to Buffalo from here. You had the hip surgery, too. That didn't help things out a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I had the first hip surgery here. Then I think first year I got through with just one broken bone or something. And then then we had the lockdown.
That's right.
And I got hurt first preseason. In preseason, and I was out for my hip for like, I don't know, 20 games. And then I got back. I actually played pretty good those 8 games, and then I broke my 2 ribs and collapsed my lung.
I don't remember that.
And then I had to wait a month to go to a hip surgery, which I knew I was going to do after the season because I was shooting my hip all over, like all these injections like Synvisc and whatnot, and I had to wait after the season because my lung couldn't take an operation. So I went. After a month, I went to a hip surgery, the same one, like the 6-month recovery. And then I got back next season. Sure enough, first regular season game, I broke my rib again.
Jeez.
And
the chances of that.
Yeah, and then I played a little bit, but I think they already made that decision for me to not stay there anymore. And I was up and down, and I think I missed some games, and I was in the stands and so on. But... you know, it's got to do with luck and got to do with team. And I didn't do that well myself. And I guess I was injured too, so I couldn't play the way I wanted to. Sure. And coaches changed and the GMs changed and the team changed, a lot of trades and all that kind of stuff. So coming from that high in Philly, going all the way to the bottom. But, you know, stuff like that happened. It was a rough time. Obviously, the media saw on you, the GM saw on you, the fans are on you. So it was very depressive time, but somehow I kind of made it out there. I tried to think positive that good things happen. And obviously, they bought me out, and that was a sting, but I knew it was going to happen. But obviously, when it happens, it kind of hits you a little bit. But without that, saying Bilbao would have come to play either. So there's always good and bad things happening. And some of the ego maybe that I had as a hockey player, as a person, it kind of shattered so hard over those the buyout and getting that stuff from media. So it was a very good thing that you kind of realized that you're not invincible. You're not you have to find a way to be a normal person, like live right. outside hockey and think the things a little bit other perspective, because sure. yeah. it's not all about hockey. It's not about how much money you have,
right.
How the girls like you or whatever it is. So you kind of, the ego shatters, so you kind of turn into a different person after a while, or to yourself.
Yeah.
And I really, really, those are the good things that happened there, and which I was, if you look the positive side, those are the best things that happened there.
Yeah.
And there's always positive and good things about stuff happening. You either learn and be positive about it, or just, you know, stay depressed or miserable. And
yeah,
it's all perspective, right?
I can tell you that for sure. Like I was, went through that a couple of years ago where, you know, I'm like not very happy, pretty yeah. depressed. But in the end, now I'm like, wow, this has been great. It's the best yeah. thing that's happened to me. So I know where you're coming from. But going back to that last year where I remember going in there and Lou Nolan. sorry. No, your coach was you're playing on the fourth line. I'm like, what's he going to do on the fourth line?
Yeah.
Like a skilled guy like this, right. you know. And then you got Collette out there running the power play.
Yeah.
No. well, John Scott. John Scott
was out there running the power play. Yeah. I'm like, well, how are you going to score? It's like Ilkka Sinisalo told Mike Keenan, he had benched him, Ilkka, and he's like, they get a power play late in the game. He's like, Sinisalo, you think you can score? It was pretty hard from here, Mike. So he should have said to yeah. Teddy Nolan.
With Teddy.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it's hard. You don't have the chemistry. You don't have the you don't have the ice time. The team's not winning, so you're not holding to the puck. And
yeah.
And every power play, you kind of have to score. Or
that's yeah,
the
right.
last
yeah.
one you get because you don't get power play. So it's a tough combination.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you played for some pretty good coaches and at different points of your career, you know, like highs and lows, like you mentioned. Like outside of that, who was the best coach you played for?
Well, I think Lavi and Babs, they're both really good. They're a little bit similar, and it was the old times a little bit. I guess the coaching's kind of changed now. It's not as hard, like, you know. But they were both smart. I think Mike Babcock is super smart. Like it was just a little too much. Guys, it wears on guys. Like
sure.
micromanaging everything. But those two coaches were probably the best. And I mean, they had a lot of success too. Like it's not an accident.
Right.
But you know, I think those two were probably the best. I think. We could have gone with being a little more gentle to the guys and like being more friendly to the guys or not being so hard on. But those were the times. Things changed, right?
Sure. Yeah,
so
you don't find many coaches like that. I mean, Daryl Sutter's about the only guy I can think of that's
still
old,
floating around like
school.
That.
Chiefs is. I don't want to say hard, but he just expects you to play hard.
Right.
But he's
right.
honest and he's fair. Well, so I think yeah. the guys appreciate that.
Well,
you know?
And I think that's important to be honest and fair. And yeah. and that's the thing. Those two things you need.
You need those.
And even if you're hard, like, or sometimes, like, too hard, it doesn't matter if you're honest and fair. Right. That's what the guys appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And back in the day, there was no really... I couldn't go to Mike Babcock, like... Hey, let's have a chat. I don't feel like
yeah, right.
I get enough power play time. Yeah. Or I don't really like playing with this guy
yeah.
or to Lavi. Like, well, Lavi, I need to play more. Yeah. We score every shift.
We
score almost every shift. Like, I feel like we could score every shift, but there's obviously other lines and other players there too. So it's a hard work though, be a coach.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think you got to define like what hard is too, right? I think there's a fine line of like, you know, what you're talking about with Chief. It's like, you know, you have high expectations for the players, obviously, fairness and you know, you're demanding. But I think some of the things we're talking about, like Babs and some of these like old school guys, is like they wear on guys because they're like, just like you said, micromanaging. You're constantly in their grill. It's like, it's not just, it's not even so much being hard. It's like almost being like demeaning, right? Like,
right.
Like almost like undermining your your value or questioning your productivity or something like that in a non-productive way, right?
Right.
Because I mean, you can communicate these ideas without having to make you feel like a bag of shit.
Right, right, right.
You know, exactly, and hopefully get you to play better. If that's ultimately the goal.
Right, right.
But you see these guys have, you know, pretty short shelf life, you know, like a guy like Torts and we've heard great things about Torts, but some of these guys like shorter shelf life because they just wear on guys. Like you can only hear someone like in your ear for so long and then it's like, yeah, damn, like, you know, I can't perform.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because these seasons are hard, like you get the media on your back and you play every other day and a lot of pressure and you want to win. And, you know, some guys are not happy. Some guys are more happy on their role or ice time. It happens, but you don't want somebody to shouting on your ear all the time. I don't think that's productive.
No.
But, but you don't want anyone to abuse the system too if the coach is nice. So, but I think if you abuse the system, you abuse yourself, because you'd want to get the best out of yourself and the best 100%. Out of the team. That's all going to work on your advantage.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's where like Chief finds that bridge of both those worlds. I mean, obviously he's a demanding coach with high expectations, but he has a way to connect with the players, right, and get the most out of them in a productive way without making them feel like a bag of shit.
And actually, now that you said it, Chief was so good too, like, when he was around here, like, he'd always be talking to you. I really liked him. He was telling me stuff, and you could do this, and he was sometimes being a little bit of therapy, like, don't worry about this, and just concentrate on this, and he got it. Like, he's a smart dude. He got what you where you were at, but obviously, Chief was assistant by then, so you really didn't get to see him as a first coach.
Sure.
But, it's been awesome to see he's doing so well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think a lot of people can say any bad things about him. Like, he's absolutely fair, honest. It's funny too.
He's great. He's so great with sarcastic. The guys. What was it? Was Schenner said that when they won the cup there, that not one guy in the locker room, playing or not playing,
were like pissed off, you know. Sometimes you got that guy that didn't get to play,
right.
Or I got screwed,
right?
He was like, dude, everyone loves him,
yeah,
like, because he's fair and he tells you, hey, I'm pulling you tonight, VLA. And yeah, I told that one story about one of the players. I don't want to say he still plays there, but he wasn't anything bad about him. But he brought him in and said, hey, you're not playing tonight. And the player was like, fuck you, I'm playing. He's like, no, you're not, and I'm gonna tell you why. And he told him, and the guy leaves, comes back in right before practice, says, I'm playing. He's like, you're not playing, you're gonna skate, and tomorrow you'll practice, and you'll play the next game. That happens, go to the next game, guy scores, he goes on a 14 game point streak, and he came to Chief like a week later and was like, you were right, man. He's like, I watched the clips,
right. And it takes guts and like a little bit of standing like tall and saying that, but once you do it, it's not gonna hurt. Like, you gotta realize also, like, coaching that if you say that and you feel like you're right, then there's nothing to worry about saying that to the guy. If he doesn't get it, it's probably not your fault, right?
Yeah,
As if you're honest and so on. Like, those talks are probably not fun for the coach, and they're not fun for the players, but you can make it a little easier being honest and truthful about it.
Yeah.
And be not, you don't have to be an asshole about it.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, you mentioned Chief being a funny guy. Who are one of the funniest guys that you played with? I know you've been around a few guys in your time.
I think Bush was funny when he was
here.
On that team, there were so many good guys. Like, you couldn't really speak bad about anyone. So it was obviously Hartsy's funny. Like, he's got his show going on.
The Hartsy show.
And with chemo, with his like laugh and all that stuff. Like
he's a mischievous little shit. People don't know about chemo. Like you just see him. He'd do set something up. Watch, you know.
You can't really like be in a bad mood with him, right?
Right.
There were so many good guys, especially in here. Like, but those come to my mind first. But like everybody was nice, so it's not like. It's hard to always say who's the funniest or whatever. Like
it was a lot of fun. There were a lot of laughs going on. Sure.
Back then it was a zoo after Detroit. Like after games, there were a bunch of people in the locker room and shit shows going around in practice and before games and like but it was still like we had so much fun. But it was mean business when the job started.
Yeah, that's the key right there, right?
Yeah. I
mean, is finding that balance of meaning business but having fun. Right. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you're getting paid and what league you're in, you got to have fun. Otherwise, what's the point, right?
It's just kind of like focus and enjoy at the same time. And sometimes when you keep it loose before the games, it's so good.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
The old kickball games.
Yeah.
One of the ringers.
Yeah.
Fucking watch out for replacing lights every night at the center there. Riles get a hold of one. He paid more roof fines than anyone ever saw.
Right, oh,
man. That's the best part of the game was the kickball, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, yeah. Riles has said before, like when we went on that run in the playoffs, he warmed up every single game. So he's the first guy there every day, 3:45, 7 black coffees. God knows what else you had in you. Just bouncing up.
Just to get scratched and hit the bike up.
Right.
Just get dressed and ready for soccer. What are we playing? It's 4:05. No one's here yet, Riggs. We can't play soccer yet.
We had a pretty good group there playing, too. Yeah. Almost the whole team.
Yeah.
No kidding.
They were big. I used to play then. And
you did.
Hexie wouldn't let me play anymore.
No, right.
You shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, you gotta let the kid play.
Let the kids play. Yeah. They were mad. I just said they were mad I was winning all the time.
You were skilled, man. You were skilled.
Chemo's champ most of the
time. Yeah. Chemo. I mean, but he didn't move to any balls.
No.
Oh, I can't get there.
Oh.
Yeah, it hurts you call him out.
Yeah.
Between the kickball and then the two pass games, I mean, I feel like I got to get some credit for getting you primed up for the playoffs.
Oh yeah, you do. Yeah, we were playing that two pass quite a lot. Yeah.
Oh man,
kicking the coaches' asses.
Oh
yeah, Joey loved it. Hey, Joey.
Who was there? Was Reggie there? Still there?
No, was Reggie there? No,
it was the next year. Oh yeah,
Reggie was gone. Right, Reggie Lemelin wasn't there.
No, who was it? Jack? No, it was Jack Mack. Who was it?
Chief was there, right?
I'm drawing a blank.
Jeff Reese. Sorry, Reese.
The old tripod.
Yep.
Yeah.
Reese was there.
Yeah. We made him look.
We played those after everybody left for like 40 minutes sometimes.
Oh, man, yeah.
Joey Mullen got pissed coming in and like losing.
Yeah.
We were dominating, buddy.
Oh, we were, yeah.
And it was fun.
That was his favorite part. Like just getting to play with you guys. Like the guy would have stayed out there for 2 hours.
And it was a hard workout too. Those guys were pretty good. Joey was still pretty good.
He was giving it.
Because now you could just skate for like 30 minutes, like just going around. Like what's that gonna do when you go on the ice? Like you can't even see the puck. Like
that's it. You got the mitts primed up.
Yeah, the mitts were ready.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Toe dragging poor Reeser.
Yeah,
spun him into the ground a few times. Yeah. That's a goalie.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was the best part of my career. Anyways, two pass and the kickball, man.
Yeah,
not the 7 coffees.
Oh, that was part of it. That was part of the process. Yeah, the 7 coffees.
I don't know if you remember, guys used to get mad when I'd give Lavi those energy supplements.
Yeah. Supplements, yeah. They were like, what, Red Bull shots?
Well, that was on top of the supplement.
Oh, on top of the supplement.
He was having his normal 6 black coffees, then the Red Bull shot, a full Red Bull condensed into one shot.
Oh,
take that and be like.
That's why he's pacing up and down the hallway.
He was fired up.
Oh my God.
Oh, he was fired
there,
up.
He was there before you. He got there. He would get there
he's
before you.
He's pacing up and down the hallway, brushing his hair.
Red. Yeah. Like sweating. Yeah. He's still Lavi, still hanging on to that hair, too. I saw the other day. He's still hanging on, man. I mean, he's got her slicked back. I don't know how he does it. That's amazing because I was like, he ain't going to have it in a year. This was in 2010. He's still hanging on to that shit. It's
there's a lot of stuff like Rogaine and stuff in the market.
A lot of supplements, right?
Oh, dude. Oh, man. Oh, wow. Yeah, he's still hanging on, though.
Oh, so. Yeah. He's doing well.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Supplements, yep.
Supplements are keeping him going. Well, Billy, we appreciate you, man.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're rocking. Get back to the mainland. And
we don't want you to leave, bro.
No, man.
I'll be back. I'll be back soon.
You hopefully. Say that.
Well, now I haven't been able to travel with with the COVID, so it's been 2 years kind of. Being at the bunkers there, and I might have to build a bunker now with,
yeah, I know, right?
With
yeah,
the
no
situation
shit.
Coming in.
Oh my yeah. God.
Luxury
oh,
bunker.
I know, man.
Get some gym and, you know,
yeah,
what it is. But thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate
it.
It
was fun.
It was awesome, dude. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Miss you, man. Wish you, you know, hopefully we get to see you more. Like, you know, we could come out to L.A. to your place. You know, you got he's got a store there now.
Yeah, I know.
So Ashton Kutcher, like, you're putting this guy in your shorts? Like, what about the kid? I'm cruising around Philadelphia.
What are you wearing?
Oh, yeah, you know. That's when I'm going out. I know him. No, but it's awesome, man, and continued success.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate
it. It's awesome to see, buddy. It really is.
Next Thank alumni you. Game, we got to bring the skill in. And
ooh. Yeah, yeah, I'll come over, yeah, for sure. It was the same thing as I said earlier. Like, I wanted to come. Like, it would have been so nice.
You still got the white skates?
Yeah, I do. I have two more pairs.
You still have? Still,
I got a bunch of sticks.
Good.
Not but nice. I've skated 15 times since I retired.
That's it?
Yeah, but all like charity games.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I still got it.
I know you do. You're not losing it. I was going to say, when we were talking about your skates, you probably don't remember this. We got him a pair of Bauer skates, but we sent them over to our buddy, Franny Drummond.
Yeah,
he painted them. They were sick. Remember, he put orange.
Orange and white.
They were the old vapors. Yeah, but he made them like put orange in them or what they were.
I wonder where they are.
I don't know, man. I thought you took them. I thought you took them with you. They were so sick. Like, they were custom. Like, he put that paint.
So you were designing before you thought.
Yeah,
it
was. Yeah.
That's
those were actually super nice.
Those were so cool, man. I wish you did have them.
Yeah.
George in Buffalo is probably rocking them in his men's league.
He's probably
Georgie.
That guy doesn't skate.
No way. No. Oh, man. But anyway, Billy, thank you so much.
Thank
man.
You. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Appreciate
good
you,
seeing you guys.
That episode was brought to you by our friends at Fans of Philly, fansofphilly.com. You excited, Nast?
I'm so excited. 2 weeks, man. 2 weeks, baby.
I know. It's creeping. It's creeping.
Creeping up. The 25th, headed to Smashville, baby. You better be rested up. That's all you do. That's all you do. So you should be fine.
Preserving the prana for Nashville, dude. Ready to rock.
That's right.
Yeah, check out our friends at fansofphilly.com. And a big, huge thanks to our friend, Billy Dano.
Yes.
What a beautiful human he is.
God, he's awesome, man. God, I just can't. I know we talked about it, but I just can't. How big his company has gotten is unbelievable, man. From where, you know, just start. I guess everything starts with a small little thing. But, man, he is very successful, and it's cool to see.
Yeah, it really is. It's inspiring, you know, for people post-career and, just people in general, right? It starts with an idea, right? You had a simple idea. I mean, create a logo, create a name. And next thing you know, he's got guns a-blazing. But nice to see him find a passion after hockey and then kind of finding that intersection of it. Not that, he kind of talked about, trying to keep Billy Baino separate from hockey. But, you know, that latest Warrior collaboration.
Yeah.
Was kind of nice to see back in the hockey world, but nonetheless, a lot of these guys are rocking his gear and he is somehow indirectly still in the game, whether he thinks so or not, but
nice
to see him.
I think it's kind of like you got away for a little bit, but it's been your whole life. So you kind of want to get back into it. I think that was a perfect thing for him to kind of bring him back into the hockey. And plus, I mean, let's be honest. Most people do know him from hockey.
Yeah, 100%.
Even though his brand is not a hockey brand per se, but you do see a lot of hockey players wearing it. So it kind of is a hockey apparel a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's great. Great to get to see him in person. That was the best, you know, like we were trying to get him on Zoom. I'm so happy we didn't because we had him in here. So that was awesome seeing him, man. He's doing so well. Just happy guy. Same as he used to be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Always smiling, good energy, just kind of like whatever, you know, just let life flow by. And no, it's beautiful. And it was nice to talk to him a little bit about, you know, his adversities towards end of his, you know, towards end of his career there. And, you know, we kind of knew a little bit about it, but most people would be like, well, you know, he signed a big ticket, you know, so whatever, he's got the money, but it still affects you mentally. Right. It's still, you know, when it's like your livelihood and it's something that you've poured so much love and energy into, you know, when you start feeling the dream slip away and, you know, you're not playing and, you know, you have to kind of start thinking a little bit differently. It was cool to have that conversation with him. But then on the other side, again, he's found himself and figured it out. So,
it's funny. I don't think I brought it up when we were talking to him because we had so many things going on. But I do remember after his first year, even though his first year wasn't bad in Buffalo, it could have been a lot worse. You know, he was just like, I would have taken less money to stay here looking back, you know, just because, you know, it just wasn't the same. And it's funny, people that used to come into the Flyers organization, especially when they started here, like Brandon Manning, a bunch of guys have said to me, man, guys don't realize how good they had it, you know, being here. And I was, you know, back in the day, maybe things have changed a little bit now, but, you know, at that time, you know, people were, like you said, people talk about money. Oh, they got money. That's what, sometimes that isn't everything, you know, like, I mean, probably a lot of times it's not.
But, yeah. 100%.
Either way, he made it work. He got through it. And, it was interesting to hear, you know, him talk a little bit about, you know, being down in the dumps and, you know, what do I do next? You know, and he certainly found his way out of it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Finding solutions, plenty of problems. You got to find the solutions, right? So
that's right.
Yeah. Happy for him. Great to see him. Hopefully we can reconnect with him. Next time he comes in town, we can bring him back in the studio for Vili 2.0.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Right on. Well, that's a wrap, Nas.
All right, man. Hey, enjoy the rest of your time there. Don't worry about us up here freezing our asses off. It's no big deal.
Hey, 75 degrees, dude. You can handle that.
Not 75 here.
It was yesterday.
40 degrees
here. A little sprinkle of heat.
We did yesterday. It was Sunday. Sorry, Sunday, I think. Sunday and Monday. Not bad. But anyway, have a good time, and we'll see you back this week, bud.
Sounds good. Episode 65 in the books. Until next week, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.